Hi, everybody. This is Sarah. I want to thank you first so much for listening to the Preceptor podcast. I also wanted to let you know that the episode that you are getting ready to listen to was originally recorded August the 25th. Since the recording had taken place, there has been an update from HHS letting us know that these new rules no longer apply to only pediatric patients, but any patients 3 years or older. As you listen to this podcast, please remember that there has been an update to this, and this is an evolving situation. Now, without further ado, the Preceptor Podcast. Hi, everybody. Thank you for joining us for the Preceptor Podcast. I'm Sarah, and I'm really excited today because I am going to be interviewing one of my co-hosts, Ryan, and we're going to be talking a little bit about pediatric vaccinations. Ryan, do you just want to share a little bit with the group what your credentials are when we're talking about vaccinations?
Sure. Thank you so much, Sarah. So my background is in community pharmacy, and I've been certified to give immunizations since 2011. I would guess that I've given roughly 800 to 900 immunizations in the course of my lifetime. I also am the faculty trainer for Manchester's College of Pharmacy, and I conduct the immunization training course along with colleagues every year.
And you've done a little bit of advocacy for immunizations in the state of Indiana as well, correct?
Absolutely, yes. I've also worked with the Indiana State Department of Health and continue to work with them to establish a standing order for pharmacists to administer immunizations outside of a prescription written by a practitioner. So definitely one of my biggest passions certainly is pharmacists being able to give immunizations.
So what brought this to my attention was there was a recently an article that HHS had made a decision about pediatrics and pharmacist-delivered immunizations. So can you kind of tell us what the decision from HHS says and what does it mean?
Absolutely. So HHS and the Secretary for Health and Human Services, Alex Azar, recently made an amendment to a previously ordered legislation, which has allowed pharmacists to administer immunizations to any patient aged 3 to 18 years without a prescription or an order from another practitioner. So we can now both order and administer immunizations to patients aged 3 to 18 years old.
So is this for any type of immunization, or are there just specific immunizations? So for instance, can we do hepatitis B vaccines, or is there only certain ones that pharmacists can do?
Sure. So just a little more background. This was born out of the COVID-19 pandemic, as many things have been in the past 6 months or so. And really what we saw nationwide was a dip in childhood vaccination rates. And that's for all types of vaccines, not just, you know, the flu shot, not hopefully the upcoming COVID immunization, but for all childhood vaccinations. And this is really what this is born out of. So pharmacists will be allowed to administer any immunization that is approved by the ACIP schedule. So the CDC has a committee that determines when it's most appropriate for patients to receive immunizations. And any immunization that's appropriate for a patient aged 3 to 18 years is covered under this new order.
So the order only covers up to 18 years. So are there still vaccinations that pharmacists cannot give adults?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. So this seems like a big move forward for public health. However, there's been some mixed reaction, specifically from the American Academy of Pediatrics, which I hold in high regard as a parent, and the American Academy of Family Physicians. So could you kind of explain what their concern is about this?
Sure, absolutely. Happy to discuss that a little bit further, because there has been some pushback from both of those groups. And it's important to note that this order is specific to children and adolescents, so only age 3 to 18, and not anybody over the age of 18. So some of the pushback that we've seen from the American Academy of Pediatrics and the American Medical Association, among others, is that this was really a misguided attempt to get patients vaccinated. I've seen a lot of information that they've shared about vaccine hesitancy, and that speaking to someone who is not their direct medical provider may not be the right answer to address vaccine hesitancy. So there's been some concerns specifically with that. There have been other concerns that giving immunizations outside of the pediatrician's office may reduce the number of well child visits that patients are conducting, and may impact other medical services that patients may not be at the pediatrician's office to receive. So those have been some of the concerns voiced from these groups.
It makes me wonder how many times parents go to get vaccines and they're like, well, I guess I'll have the child examined as well. I can't. Normally, I would think if I was going to go, I would be like, yes, I want to have the examined. I guess I'll do these vaccines too. And so
yeah, I
like the opposite.
I tend to agree with you. I'm really confused by some of this concern, because most of the parents that I know don't go to the pediatrician just to get vaccines anymore. Now, I don't know if that might differ depending on the types of patient populations that we're working with and the types of restrictions that some schools, for example, may have. But I do have some concern that there's a sense that if people can get immunizations elsewhere, it will actually negatively impact their care.
I think one thing to think about too is the majority of childhood immunizations are for people that are less than three, and it doesn't cover those younger children as well.
Absolutely. And that use of three or up was intentional. The reason for that is anybody three and up should be receiving intramuscular immunizations in their deltoid muscle, so their shoulder muscle. Anybody under three, you usually use the anterior lateral thigh to administer IM or intramuscular immunizations, which is more difficult and kind of a more specialized technique. So they did specifically target three and up so that all patients would be receiving the vaccine in their deltoid muscle. So that's one thing that they were very intentional about the age range. But to your point as well, most childhood vaccines are given age two or below. There are some exceptions to that, certainly. But the vast majority of childhood immunizations are given below the age of three. And so the patients who we would be helping most would be those who were trying to catch up and who aren't already sufficiently covered by their healthcare provider.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So those ones that would normally be given to a child that's less than three, you can still give those to a child that's older than three if they're on the catch-up schedule.
Correct. Yes. Okay. Yes. So as long as you're following the guidelines for their catch-up schedule, absolutely. You can administer those under this new order from HHS. Yes.
Okay. And I think since we mentioned quickly flu shots, I think that we could already do flu shots in Indiana specifically for pediatric patients. I don't know that it went down to three though, did it?
No, it did not. So I believe it was ages six and up without a prescription, or down to age two with a prescription from a healthcare provider, from a prescriber. So that of course has changed as well with this rule. So anybody age three and up, we can administer the flu shot to directly without a prescription from a prescriber. One other aspect I want to really bring up and to kind of go against those documents that the AMA and the American Academy of Pediatrics have put out, over half of our children in the United States don't have a medical home. And so they don't have a pediatrician that they regularly see and regularly get immunizations with. And so I want to make sure that that's clear as well, that if we're improving access to care, and most pharmacists know that about 90% of the population is within 5 miles of a community pharmacy, that's something to really keep in mind, that over half of children don't have a medical home where they see a pediatrician regularly, where they do well child visits on an annual basis or on an appropriate schedule. So pharmacists were really expanding this scope to catch those children who aren't being seen regularly. And I really wanted to make sure that we drive that point home, that This is a valuable service we're providing to an underserved population in children that we often don't think of as that population who can be underserved.
So we're really not replacing what's happening at these physicians' offices. That's not the point of this. It's really to help people who are in this underserved population.
Absolutely, yes. We have no interest. I can speak for pharmacists as a group, and I think I would be in the right here. Pharmacists have no interest in replacing pediatricians and the services they provide. Pediatricians are a valuable member of our society and of our healthcare team. We want to work with pediatricians to make sure that we're covering as many patients as possible. And in the HHS order, there's a specific clause that requires pharmacists to encourage any patients that they're immunizing to go to their pediatrician or to establish a relationship with a pediatrician to continue or to begin well child visits as well. So the goal of this is to get better healthcare for all involved. It is not to take patients away from one group and transition them to another.
Do you happen to know, and this might be a bonus question, but if we're talking about patients who maybe don't have a medical home, I'm imagining, and I know that there's a lot of children who are on Medicaid. Do you happen to know if these vaccinations are being covered by Medicaid?
So it really depends on who you're going to get the vaccinations from. There are a number of pharmacies that do provide immunizations through Medicaid free of charge. And there are more that are coming on board, especially with this new order. This is something that is at the forefront of many chain pharmacies that I've spoken to recently as a result of this order. They want to get on that that list of Medicaid providers who can offer these services to patients free of charge.
So what should pharmacists do next? Now that we've got this new information, we have this new patient population that we can provide care for, what should we be doing next?
We should be immunizing.
Just out poking people. Just poke
them.
That's
right. That's right. The long and short of it is if you are already licensed to immunize, certainly in the state of Indiana, but really in almost any state in the union, then this covers you. So you have to do a 20-hour approved ACPE accredited immunization program. The one that's most commonly used, to my knowledge, is through APHA or the American Pharmacist Association. If you have that training, that qualifies. That's a 20-hour program that you have completed. In addition, you must complete at least 2 hours of continuing education every renewal period. So you don't have to complete it prior to working under this new order, but you do need to complete 2 hours of immunization-focused continuing education every renewal period in your jurisdiction. Other than that, really, you don't have to do anything else out of the norm. You are required to discuss with patients and adult caregivers, meeting with the pediatrician to conduct those well child visits. And really, of course, we want to do that. Other than that, make sure that you have the record keeping requirements set up. So in Indiana, it's CHIRP, but other states have their own immunization record keeping documentation, and it's important to follow those. The only other thing I would say is, These immunizations are likely going to be billed in the same way that medical providers are billed. So I would encourage every pharmacist and all licensed pharmacists can establish one of these to get an individual NPI number. And the individual NPI number is what all of your other prescribing practitioners use to do billing through Medicare, Medicaid, and private health insurances. And this is something that pharmacists should have as well. If you go to the NPI website, you can establish your own NPI for no charge. It's very simple to do. And so I would encourage all of you to establish your own individual NPI, separate from a pharmacy NPI, if you have not done so already.
That's great. And did you say, you said it was free?
It is free. It's just an application. It's been a while since I've established mine, but I believe it took about 5 minutes. It's not hard to do, and it will pay dividends, hopefully sooner rather than later. But I would encourage all pharmacists to have their individual NPI.
And I was going to say for the immunization training, I know most pharmacy schools now, all their students are graduating with immunization training. But if you're old like me and you didn't have immunization training, you could reach out to a pharmacy school that's in your area, or definitely if you're a Manchester preceptor or a Palm Beach Atlantic preceptor, you can reach out to us respectively, and we can help you find training, or we can have you train with our students. So, you know, reach out. If you can't find an APHA one close to you, reach out to your pharmacy schools and they can probably help you find something that's going to be pretty close to you, that's going to be soon, so you can get that certification.
Absolutely. I'd say almost every school at this point is training their student pharmacists prior to graduation, and they can certainly make room for you as a preceptor as well. And Manchester certainly can. Yes.
Yep. So reach out to those folks and they can help you get that certification, because we do want that to, we do think that that's important. Anything else that we should know, Ryan?
It's important to note that this order is only in effect for the duration of the healthcare emergency. So this is not a permanent fix. So this is something that is could be stopped at any time by the Secretary of Health and Human Services. So I don't expect that it will be stopped, and I'm very hopeful that it will be turned into permanent legislation, but there is no guarantee of that. And so we need to keep an eye on this and continue to advocate for our ability to practice at the top of our scope as pharmacists and deliver immunizations, which we are very well qualified to do, probably overqualified to do.
That's a really good point. A really good point. Well, thank you so much for being with us today, and I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
So we want to thank everybody for joining us for the Preceptor Podcast. If you liked this episode, please make sure that you like or subscribe. If you have any questions or have ideas for content, please let us know so that we can create content that best serves you. Thanks, everyone.